This is Doug Miller. Allow me to introduce you to a man named Haman. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Word of God in hand. Great blessing and privilege, I might say, for us to be able to bring you this program. And we are here hoping to see lives changed and knees bowed to our Lord Jesus Christ. A Dialogue is brought to you every week this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we desire, in fact, we require the assistance of the Lord's people. This is a faith ministry, and we are utterly and absolutely dependent on interested parties to support us and get this word out. I've said it many times. I will continue to say it. Please, please pray for Dialogue. We cannot exist without your prayers. Tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Delight to hear from the Lord's people or from just anyone who's listening. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. You may write in questions. You may write in asking for help, for assistance. If we can give it to you, it is absolutely free of charge, no strings attached, and you have our guarantee on that one. Now, if you don't like to write with paper and pen or pencil or even sit at a typewriter and write and stick stamps on envelopes, it's okay. We have an email address. It is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull down broadcasts of our recordings of our broadcasts and listen to them absolutely free, we have a web page. That is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. And you can read about Dialogue and read other things and just entertain yourself no end. If you wish to talk to me, I'd be happy to return a phone call, but it will take some time. We don't have a secretary on staff. We're not going to have one. All of our money goes back into the broadcast. But our phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 535-9089, and you will get a recording. You leave a message, I'll get back with you. All right. In now to the Word of God and to the introduction I promised. In saying I will introduce you to Haman, I am not saying that I'm going to delight you with this introduction, because it's almost, you know, I might as well be introducing you to Jack the Ripper or to Hitler or to, you know, Tsar Nicholas or to any of the Jew haters of the past. This man is undoubtedly a type and a picture of Antichrist. Now, let me say something about that. The Antichrist is an individual. He is one individual. He has not yet appeared on the scene. He is yet coming, and when he comes, he will, as they say down home, cut quite a swath, and it will not be pleasant. You don't want to be around for that one. Over the years, many people have been pointed out as Antichrist. You know, there were those who taught that Attila the Hun was Antichrist. And, you know, then they said that Napoleon was Antichrist, and, Kaiser Wilhelm II was Antichrist. And then, of course, there were a world of people that said that Hitler was the Antichrist, and even some of our recent presidents have been branded as Antichrists. I know one individual, a very well-taught and prominent Bible teacher in this area, who swore that Mussolini was the Antichrist. Well, none of these men, none of them, is the Antichrist. However, some of them have pretty well typified the Antichrist and have been Antichrists, plural, in their own rights. You lay your hands on the Jewish people. You take a position of saying you will destroy Israel, or you will destroy the Jews, or blaming the Jews for your problems. And you are playing right into the hands of the enemy Satan. You become a tool of his, and you are an Antichrist with a small letter. And that's exactly what this man Haman is. Now, for those of you who don't know it by now, if you've been listening to me any time, you certainly should know it. There is no question about how I feel about Israel. God has made his position on Israel well known over the years. And it begins with the things that he said to Moses during the Exodus. And one of the things that he said, and it is clear and it stands and it has not been broken and it will go on standing: I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. That is still true. And you look at history and you can confirm the truth of this to yourself without any need of my saying anything. Every nation, every individual, everyone who in any way, shape, form, or fashion has ever lifted himself or themselves, if you want to go over to the pool, up against Israel has been broken. And this, friends, includes many of the great nations of Europe. We like to think of Germany in this regard. Well, Germany's just one of the more recent ones. The Germans were, if anything can be said about it, and this may surprise some of you, but they were kinder to the Jews than the Russians ever were. We don't know the millions of people that were slaughtered, the millions of Jews that were slaughtered by the Russians over the years. The Spaniards persecuted the Jews and drove them out. France, kind of interesting what happened in Germany. Germany is the one that kind of has bitten the bullet, so to speak, for this business of persecuting the Jews. How interesting that we overlook France, who was a great persecutor of Jews and who in the Vichy government of France threw in with Hitler and got right in line with him. Poland, great persecutor of the Jews. And I'm sorry to have to say that England at some points in its history has been another one of these groups that has persecuted the Jews. If you are Catholic, I don't want to upset you unduly, but let me tell you something. The Roman Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church have both persecuted and hounded the Jews under this very dubious and wicked theory of, you know, deicide. They were the Christ killers and all of this. No truth to this. No reason to do it other than pure unmitigated hatred and viciousness. And all of these individuals have paid for this. They have paid, and they have paid greatly. Now let's go on with this and let me tell you something. I am greatly concerned right now about the direction my country is taking. If any of you have any doubt about it, I am an American. I've said this on here before, here it comes again. I am a direct descendant of Continental soldiers. My people, we have, you know, been in America for a long time, and I am committed to the United States of America. And it pains me to see my country, my government, in any way turning against Israel. I cannot imagine what goes on in the heads of some of these people. But I want to say this publicly, and I want to make it very clear to any one of you out there. If you're against Israel, you'll go there by yourself, because I will not go there with you. And when I see my own country tending to want to throw Israel under the bus, tending to want to do anything to get peace, let's just sell them out. Let Palestine have the land. I want to tell you something. We had better be careful. And if you have any love or concern for this country at all, you had better pray. And I mean pray earnestly that we stand with and for Israel. Now to the word of God. And here comes this man Haman, an Antichrist, a Jew hater. And once again, though God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, we see the hand of God as he protects his people who are in the dispersion. They've been driven out of Palestine and out of Jerusalem through their disobedience, their idolatry. Yeah, they paid for it. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah and the other prophets. Now they're out in the dispersion. But God's hand is on them for good even there. His word to anyone is thus far and no farther. Yes, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take Jerusalem and tear it down and raise it to the earth and carry the Jews away captive. And then Nebuchadnezzar fell under judgment. And now we have these individuals. They're in the dispersion. They're in the kingdom of Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes. And they are, and we saw in chapters 1 and 2 how God raised up a lady named Hadassah. The Persians called her Esther, which means a star. And Hadassah, Esther, has become the queen. She is seated on the throne next to Ahasuerus the king. Now in comes this man Haman. Haman doesn't know that Esther is a Jew. In fact, Esther's uncle Mordecai had told her, do not let anyone know. Don't tell anyone. And she didn't. So here we have this man, Haman, who has been promoted into a high position. He's the son of Hammedatha the Agagite. And he advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So here is a man who is a wicked man. Now, Ahasuerus doesn't know this necessarily, but then Ahasuerus doesn't know a lot of things. He doesn't understand that the woman seated on the throne next to him is Jewish. He doesn't understand, perhaps, that God's hand is on the Jews for good. He does not understand, perhaps, that these are the Lord's people and that God has made unconditional and unbreakable promises to them and he will protect them. He doesn't understand the heart of this Haman, but he's going to understand it. He raises him up. He seats him above all the princes, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow to him and did not do him reverence. Now we have to ask why, and I don't know why. Mordecai apparently had some insight into who and what this man was. He apparently knew what he was. And even though he was violating a command of the king, and this is dangerous business, he will not bow the knee to this Haman. And the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, on into verse 4 of chapter 3, when they daily spake to him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. Now this is interesting, because Mordecai had told Esther not to make known to him who her people were. We see that in verse 20 of chapter 2. She had not showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. He told her not to do it, but he himself made no bones about it. Now, this is interesting, and yet perhaps instructive. Mordecai apparently understood that it was not in the best interest of Esther to make known yet who her people were and that she was Jewish. But Mordecai made no such effort to hide his own background. He apparently was willing to suffer the consequences. And friends, there are consequences with it. If you are Jewish, you know very well some of the consequences. You know some of the hatred and some of the discrimination that's been directed at you. And, you know, if you are not Jewish, some of you may not like Jews, and you understand this real well. But in case you are out there and you don't know it, let me tell you something. That the mark of the Lord God is on these people. These are His people. And for that reason and that reason alone, think of what this means. This means that it is through them that salvation is coming to the world, because Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, what did He say? Salvation is of the Jews. It is through the Jews that the Word of God has come into this world. All of the false books that are written, all of the confusion that has been printed out there, all of the darkness that has come down out there. There is a book that is life, and it is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And it has come to us through who? The Jews. Who is it that has dispelled the lies of Satan, the lies and wickedness of the enemy? It's the Jewish people. And this book that I have right in front of me, and that you have, I trust, in front of you, every man who wrote in it, every man whose name is on a book of this Bible, comes from these people. You think Satan doesn't hate them? You think he is not eager to put an end to them? And finally, when Messiah came, and His name is Jesus, no one beside can do the sinner good. Far off was I, but Jesus died. Now I have peace with God. His name is Jesus, and He came to us through the Jewish people. And you Gentiles, don't you ever forget it. And don't you ever doubt that Satan has an enmity and a hatred for these people. He can never get over it, and he won't get over it. And he has throughout the years persecuted them unmeasurably and unbelievably and viciously. And this is why persecution breaks out against them everywhere they go. And here we have this Haman. He tells these guys, I'm Jewish. And boy, they are not the least bit hesitant to jump on him for that, are they? Look at verse 5. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Yeah. Yeah, he's angry. Angry why? For the most, you might say, childish and superficial reasons of all. This man is not giving me proper respect. I, me. Well, he's eaten up with pride, isn't he? Who else do we know who's eaten up with pride? The devil, that's right. It's all about him. Pride, the sin of Lucifer. Pride, the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. Pride, the thing that God hates. Pride, it eats up Haman. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Now look at this. This sick, crazy individual is not content to just get hold of Mordecai and slap him around and lean on him. Oh, no. He extends this out and generalizes the thing out to all of Mordecai's people, the Jews. Because of Mordecai, he hates all of the Jews. And he sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, friends, you don't have to think too much about it to see that this man is motivated by Satan. This is not just a sick, crazy individual. This man is demonized. He is demonic. Now, let me tell all of you something out there. You Jews out there, if you're listening to me and you're Jewish, I know a lot of Jews. Most of them that I know are agnostics. If you are an agnostic Jew and listening to me, you had better understand something. There is a God and there is a devil. And the devil has a particular hatred for you if you're Jewish. And everyone, whether it's Adolf Hitler or whoever it is, who has sought to lay hands on the Jews to destroy them, don't you kid yourselves. God's not in this. They're not doing God a favor. They're not sticking up and defending God. This is demonic and it is satanic. And it has its genesis right in the pit. And we read in the 7th verse here, in the first month, that is the month of Nisan in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus. Now, we know that Esther ascended the throne in the 7th year of Ahasuerus. We read that in the chapter, in chapter 2. Now we're in the 12th year. So she's been on the throne for 5 years now. They cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from that day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all other people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them or to put up with them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. Well, how much clearer can we make it than that? This man is not only going to destroy Mordecai, he is going to get the Jews. And he is in a position to do it, friends. He is high, high up in government. He is seated, you know, right below the throne. The king has raised him up, and the king listens to him. And look at the result of it. In verse 10, the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their languages, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Now, friends, in those days, we learned this when we were going through Daniel together. When the king wrote a law, that was it. And this was sealed with his ring. And the word has gone out to destroy all of the Jews. This is not the first time Satan's tried it. It will not be the last. We'll take this up more later on. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.